This is Matt Wells at UN News. An agreement signed by the main rivals in South Sudan's ongoing conflict has been hailed by the United Nations Secretary General as an important step towards ending the crisis there. Antonio Guterres has reaffirmed the organisation's commitment to support the achievement of a fair and sustainable peace agreement for the country. South Sudan gained independence in July 2011, making it the world's youngest nation. However, the country's been mired in nearly 5 years of deadly violence stemming from the political rivalry between President Salva Kiir and his former deputy Riek Machar. On Sunday, the two leaders signed a deal in the Sudanese capital Khartoum aimed at resolving issues of governance and responsibility sharing in connection with a stalled peace agreement signed in August 2015. To find out more about these developments, Deanne Penn spoke to David Shearer, head of the UN mission in South Sudan, UNMISS, who's based in the capital, Juba.
Well, the deal's a big step forward in terms of bringing peace in South Sudan. It's brought together the president of South Sudan, Salva Kiir, the main opposition leader and his main rival, Riek Machar, and a number of the other smaller parties into one agreement. And they've signed an agreement on governance, which is basically setting up who's going to be president, who's going to be the vice presidents. There's going to be five of them, and then the setup of the parliament. So it's a good step forward in that respect. What it hasn't been as yet to do, and the negotiations are ongoing, is how are they going to organise the security on the ground for all of those people, and how's the army going to be reformed? How are we going to bring the fighting groups into the same army? And a host of other issues on the economic, the humanitarian, and those sorts of things. So it's very much a starting point, but it's a starting point which I think a lot of us didn't think we'd see perhaps 2 months ago.
Thank you. And I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said five vice presidents?
Yeah, so there's going to be a first vice president and then four other vice presidents. And the number is a means of accommodating the different factions and bringing them into the government. So it's a very much a kind of a, you know, a cross-party, all-party government where they're going to be sharing power. The question, of course, is, you know, how will it work and will it work? And we're still going to see that, but that will depend on what the negotiations come up with in the next few days, because it'll be the kind of the implementation program, which in some ways will be the most important.
Thank you. And now, of course, there have been previous attempts at peace before in South Sudan. So what makes this one different?
Well, to be honest, it's yet another in some ways. I guess the important thing about this is there's always two main things. One is that all of the parties have been brought in, so even the groups that perhaps did not see themselves aligned with either the government or the opposition of led by Riek Machar. So it's been more all-encompassing. The other important difference in this one is that in the past it's been negotiated by IGAD, which is the East African Collection of States, which is the organisation which is based in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. This time around, it's actually been Sudan and Uganda, which together have very much sort of twisted the arms of various parties and cajoled and pushed them into accepting the agreement. So it's been underwritten by two of the most important neighbours that South Sudan has. So two of the states which have the greatest to gain and to lose by having South Sudan have a peace agreement or not have one.
Thank you for that explanation. And now, tell me, now with President Kiir and his former vice president, Mr. Machar, having been at war for, you know, practically the past 5 years, how optimistic are you or the UN that this deal will hold?
Look, I think what we've got to do is we have to remain optimistic, because otherwise we will all give up. And so our job in the UN is to be as supportive as we possibly can to this agreement. There's only one agreement on the table. It's this one, and we've got to try and make this work. Now, there are a number of people who will say, well, look, we've been here before. It didn't work before. It probably won't work again. That's quite possibly could be true, but I think what we've got to do as the UN is is provide as much push to this to get it across the line and see peace in South Sudan. When you see the kind of sights that I see when I'm traveling around the country, people who have lost their homes, whose family members are being killed, you have to work hard and try hard to get peace, just so these people can go back to their own homes, get on with their lives, their kids can go to school, and the economy can start to recover. It is in so much the interest of so many people, we've got to be able to push and support it as best we can.
Thank you. And now, in line with that, in line with being optimistic and with the UN's push towards, you know, seeing that this peace deal does hold, but there are still many other militias that are operating across South Sudan. How will they be reined in this time?
Well, most of the militias are incorporated in the factions which have signed this peace agreement. So while there are different groups on the ground, they either very firmly come under the control of those who have signed the peace agreement, or perhaps some of them are slightly more loose. But nevertheless, what we have seen since the declaration of a ceasefire a few weeks ago is there's been a very big decrease in the amount of fighting on the ground. So it's probable that if all of them can stay with a peace agreement, then we would like to think that the ceasefire might continue to hold. And if the ceasefire holds, it means that people can start feeling confident about going back to their homes and getting on with their lives, rather than being in, you know, a camp or being displaced, or as 2 million of South Sudanese are have fled across the borders into neighbouring countries.
So far, what's been the reaction on the streets by ordinary South Sudanese there in Juba or in other cities, if you know about that?
Look, there's been scenes of jubilation. I mean, particularly in the, I mean, literally about 100 metres from where I'm sitting right now, my home in Juba is a protection of civilians camp, which has got 39,000 people in it, and they were partying last night about the peace agreement. So there's a lot of optimism, a lot of enthusiasm from people, particularly those people who are living in camps, because they're living in pretty squalid conditions. And that's great. The only thing is that, you know, this is not the peace agreement which will be the ultimate conclusion. There's a lot of work to go in making sure that the implementation of what's been signed today and the ongoing steps of what's needed to happen, that they are concluded. If we see it go off the rails, I'm sure that the optimism that we and the partying we saw last night could well turn to huge amounts of frustration. And if that happens, it could be a very, you know, very rough ride.
Well, let's stay on the jubilation and the happiness and the optimism side. And speaking of, you know, the next steps, I wonder if you can tell us what happens next, because you said there is still a lot more to go.
Yes. So what they signed, the agreement on governance last night, which is, as I say, the governance arrangements. The next step is to look at the security arrangements, how the various factions will come together and mold themselves into one armed force as opposed to lots of different militias. And then there's a lot of a discussion about the economy and a number of other things. And, of course, just the practical things of, well, Riek Machar is going to be the first vice president. Salva Kiir is going to remain the president. These two have fallen out in the past. How do we get them back together again, working together? And importantly, how do we ensure the security of those who come back in? Because many of them have been at war with each other. And, naturally enough, they're pretty fearful about walking into Juba, which is the place which many of them have fled not so long ago. So there's a whole range of different things that still need to happen. But it's, you know, look at the first step. And which we've got to do is just make sure the next step happens and the step after that.